Matt Flynn Direct is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Devil Radio. Enjoy.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut
you down. Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Coming to you in Madison, Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right back to the front lines of history in the making, and there's plenty being made every second, every minute, every hour. Well, we have a development. We have a development in the governor race. Here in Wisconsin. It turns out Donald Trump just endorsed Tim Michaels in the Republican primary. Now, I want to unpack that. I want to talk about that in some depth, to give you an idea of what I think that means, and I don't think it means as much as people think it means. Here's the deal. You have four major candidates for governor. You have more than that. You have a couple of others who aren't doing much, but you have the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish. She's the cheerleader for Scott Walker. If you like Scott Walker, if you like Foxconn, if you like the idea of promising more than $4 billion to a Chinese company that has never done anything out of your tax dollars, and then eating about $1 billion in site preparation, if you like that, and they block Intel, and they blocked Oshkosh Truck, and they blocked other people who were interested in using that land, which is about the primest development land in Wisconsin. It's situated between O'Hare Airport and Mitchell Field, right near Lake Michigan. Great transportation, great workforce, and so forth. If you like that, then you want the Duchess of Foxconn. I do not want the Duchess of Foxconn, Rebecca Clayfish. The next one is this Tim Ramthan. Now, Tim Ramthan is in the legislature from Campbellsport, Wisconsin. Campbellsport, Wisconsin, not too far from Random Lake, Wisconsin, where my folks and my family's had a home since the 60s. And this guy is, at least he's genuine, but he's made QAnon references. He wants to overturn the 2020 election. The guy's bad news. He has no business being in this, but he's getting a kind of a fervent right-wing base. Then you have Kevin Nicholson. Nicholson is an interesting guy only in this respect. He used to be a Democrat. And I go, and you go, oh, well, okay, he used to be a Democrat. Well, no, he was the president of the Young Democrats of the United States. And he spoke at a Democratic nominating convention blasting Republicans. Then he decides, well, I want to be in the Senate or governor, because he ran for the Senate last time, running for governor this time in Wisconsin. So I better be a Republican because I can't get nominated in the Democratic Party. And then he gives a speech blasting the Democrats the way he used to blast Republicans. I don't see that guy catching on. He has some big donors who have stuck some cash into his campaign, but, you know, I don't think he's going anywhere. Then you have Tim Michaels. Now, Tim Michaels, I initially said on this show that I believe that he was in a good way the most moderate of the Republicans. He was a friend of Mark Morata's, who was a good friend of mine. Mark passed tragically about 8 years ago, the age of 52. Small kids. I mean, he had a bad heart condition. But in any event, he was the secretary of the Department of Administration under Jim Doyle, and he was frequently mentioned himself as a possible gubernatorial candidate. So I figured, all right, this guy Michaels is probably a pragmatic businessman. Very successful construction company. And the one thing about construction CEOs, they tend to be a little more realistic about some issues. For instance, when Scott Walker put in his right to work after promising he wouldn't do it, so he got some union endorsements, and then he stabbed them in the back. some of the construction CEOs went to Walker privately and said, hey, wait a minute. We need the trade unions. We need the carpenters. We need the electricians. We need the laborers. And in my governor campaign in 2018, I had a terrific experience touring various unions and watching the training sites that they had at their own expense, not employer expense, to train their people in the trades. So with the laborers, you know, you'd go in and there would be a construction site right there that they did at their own expense. And here's what you do, and here's what you can do safely. And it was terrific, terrific. And Germany is a very good example. They have a corporation slash union partnership in a lot of this stuff and training, and companies realize they need a union. I believe especially large companies need unions. They need unions not just for wages, retirement, health care, and vacation, and protections from being fired without cause, but they need unions to help the company. The companies did not build the United States in the 20th century. The unions were the big part of that, along with the companies and some entrepreneurs. It's that kind of partnership that builds America, that builds America. And so the corporate CEOs from construction went to Walker, some of them, and said, look, just exempt the trades from this right to work. We want them. We want their unions. I knew the guy who was the CEO of Newberg Construction in Chicago back in the 70s and 80s. They got hired. They did projects all around the country. They did dams. They did McCormick Place in Chicago, but they did very high-rise condos in Naples, Florida. You know what he did? He flew down the Chicago trades, paid for their motels and food, and paid them Chicago wages. And they said, why are you doing that? He said, I don't want my building to fall down. I don't want my building to fall down. You know, you get guys like Walker and the Duchess of Foxconn who think that stabbing unions is a great thing. It's wrong and immoral. It's also a stupid thing. We don't want the buildings to fall down. That's why we want the trades. Now, having said all of that, I figured Michaels was part of that ilk. Then he started to say things that I thought, well, okay, he's just signaling to the base, trying to get a few primary votes. And so, for instance, he's, you know, he says that maybe there's something wrong with the election. Well, he can't mean that. Eric Toney, who's the DA of Fond du Lac County, running the Republican side, says that kind of stuff. But basically, he's a guy who's much more a traditional Republican and moderate than the clown from Hudson that's running against him, who's never had any prosecutor experience. And of course, then we have Josh Call as the Democratic AG. So I think if Tony is the nominee in that case and Call is our guy, then I think the state is protected. Now, in this particular case, it would not be protected with the Duchess of Foxconn. It would not be protected with a nominee like Ramphin or Nicholson. But I had hopes. I had hopes for Michaels. Now I'm beginning to question that for this reason. Then the guy came out, and this is what got him Trump's endorsement. He'd get rid of the Wisconsin Election Commission and have partisans run the election. That is not the kind of thing that a Tommy Thompson would have said. You know, when Tommy Thompson was thinking of running, he obliquely kind of stepped around a lot of this stuff. You know, he had to stroke the base, but he did it in a way that you were sure that if he got in, he would stand for our democracy, kind of like Hagedorn did on the Supreme Court. I'm not getting that feeling right now from Michaels after he said he'd get rid of the Wisconsin Election Commission. I mean, I'm just not. Now, getting a Trump endorsement is considered a big deal in the Republican Party. Why do I say that? Well, take a look at Pennsylvania. Mehmet Oz was 7 points behind David McCormick. Now he's beaten him by 902 votes. And on the recount, Alito in the Wisconsin, the U.S. Supreme Court, has weighed in with the Republican Party and said, we are not going to permit the counting of ballots that didn't have a date on them, even if they were received on time. And people go, hey, look, Domkoff, okay. It got there on time, so therefore it had to be dated on time, right? Well, I don't know. So we have a Republican Supreme Court there, but Trump clearly influenced that election. J.D. Vance in Ohio, Trump clearly influenced that, although beware of what you wish for if you're a Republican, because it may result in Tim Ryan winning. I hope he does. Now, what's going on here with Michaels then? What does Trump's endorsement mean? You will not remember this, but in the Republican primary in 2016, remember Hillary Clinton was beaten badly by Bernie Sanders in Wisconsin? Well, I'll tell you what, Trump was beaten very badly in Wisconsin, the Republican primary, by Ted Cruz. Now, Ted Cruz is lizard man. I mean, you look at Ted Cruz, you do not want this guy for anything. And yet people in Wisconsin saw through Trump in the Republican primary. And then in the general, he beat Hillary by about 7,000 votes. But the point is, Republicans in Wisconsin are more discerning than a lot of others, and they're not going to put a nut like this guy, Putin's slave, not going to put him in. So what does this all say about Michaels? In the last poll that came out, he was statistically tied with the Duchess of Foxconn, which is an amazing, this is before Trump, so it's an amazing surge for a guy who's never held office before. With the endorsement of Trump, he will probably pry a few votes more and go in the lead. However, he's going to lose some people who looked on him as somebody who isn't flat out nuts and wouldn't destroy our democracy. So the way I see it right now, this helped him in the short run. I think in the long run, because the Duchess is such a weak candidate, he may get nominated, but in the general election, he has lost any claim, in my view, to being a guy who would protect our democracy. Going to break, the lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn, the director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Again, Dan of Monona. My friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today? Dan of Monona.
I knew BJ had to come up with a new monkey to beat on since the Durham thing didn't do so good for him. So, do you think China, since they're paying $5 a gallon for gas, or Australia $7 a gas, do you think they complain about Biden, about inflation and the cost of gas, those other countries? Is that Biden's fault to them?
You know, that's an excellent point, Dan, and let me build on that, because the charge was made by CJ that, inflation, it's Biden's fault, and therefore you should put a Republican in, and somehow it's going to get better. Here's a couple of facts, and I think you're right that the Republican Party was hoping that the Sussman case would turn out with a conviction. It did not. This guy Durham is just bad news. He's like Inspector Javert from Les Miserables. He's out to pursue whatever he can. He hunts them down, and it's all fake. What they're trying to do is say that Russia didn't get involved in the 2016 election. That's false. We all know it. Trump's on TV saying, Russia, if you're listening, you know, get hold of Hillary's emails, and they did. So there's no doubt that Russia intervened, and the Republicans' continued attempt to relitigate the 2020 election and say there's something wrong with it, and to continue to attempt to relitigate the 2016 election and say Trump had nothing to do with Russia is so manifestly false that I think it's interfering. It's interfering with their election prospects. I'll tell you what, very famous quotation from the 19th century, a French statesman named Talleyrand, who once said, somebody proposed something, he said, it's worse than a crime, it's a blunder. It's worse than a crime, it's a blunder. If the Republicans to lie and say that Russia had nothing to do with 2016, and for the Republicans to lie and say there was something wrong with 2020, even though Biden won by 7 million popular votes and over 70 electoral votes, is worse than a crime. It's a blunder. It's worse than immoral and wrong. It's going to hurt them. And so you're absolutely right. The second thing is on inflation. remember a couple of things. If you look at the economy overall, unemployment is the lowest it's been since 1968. People are spending. People have their choice of jobs. Wages have gone up. Nobody has to talk about 15 an hour because a lot of the big boxes and others are offering 20 an hour. Walmart's offering 110 grand to new truckers. 110 grand to new truckers. 110 grand. On inflation, it's worldwide, and it's caused by a couple of things. It's caused by the Ukraine war, which was Russia going in and invading Ukraine. It's caused by supply problems, caused by COVID, and it's worldwide. And in the United States, I don't like to see the prices go up, but this is not something the president can just lift a finger and go, okay, we're going to send them the other way, or we can change our policy and it'll make a difference. It is worldwide, and it has to be addressed that way. And the other thing is, it's going down. It's gone down since October. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't go down precipitously. It doesn't go down overnight. But that is what is occurring. We're going back to the lines. Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today? Bill of Shorewood.
Hi, Matt. The Department of Labor just dropped the May jobs report. For the 17th straight month, the economy has added jobs. This time it was 390,000 jobs. The unemployment rate has remained at 3.6% for the third straight month, which is a half century low. So you're right. Inflation is not the only thing we look at. We also look at how people are able to find work, and that story is very good. Thanks, Matt.
Bill, that is terrific information that the numbers have come out. 390,000 new jobs in May, 17 months in a row, which is essentially all of Biden's presidency. When it goes up, now remember something. Yeah, our population increases a little bit, but if you're adding 390,000 or 250 or 450,000 jobs every month, you go into restaurants, they say, we have to close early, we don't have staff. You have signs. You go to the post office, you want a good job with a union? Right now in the Milwaukee post office, you walk in and they're advertising for four different kind of jobs, not just mail carriers, very high wages. The economy is good and inflation is absolutely worldwide. And it absolutely is a combination of the war in Ukraine, the supply problems based on COVID. And the truth is that the Biden administration has done a very good job handling the economy. And that's excellent information. 390,000 new jobs in May alone, 17 months in a row. And also 3.6% unemployment, the best in half a century. You know something? It's never going to be zero. Why isn't it going to be zero? Because some people transition between jobs. Some people decide to make a change. They take unemployment comp for a little bit and find a new and better job. That happens. You're never going to have zero. That's unbelievable. That means about 96, 97% of the people in this country are working. Terrific. Let's go back to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Monday. Wisco Paul.
Hey, good morning, man. Happy Friday to you. I want to bring one point up. The Democratic Party does have a platform. The Republicans don't. And also, there's two reasons I am a socialist, two big reasons, and it's called Social Security and Medicare. The Democrats are for protecting those two programs. The Republicans would like to take them and put them in a public sector, you know, let individuals handle it. So that's two good reasons to be a socialist at any rate. And I want to bring up the Supreme Court. You touched on it yesterday down in Florida. Their Supreme Court okayed DeSantis' maps, which is really gerrymandered. I don't know if it's worse than Wisconsin. Maybe there is nothing worse than Wisconsin. And as far as the oil, Biden is going over to Saudi Arabia. They're supposed to be our ally, but I don't think that's true. And he's going to talk to them about releasing more oil into the system. And a lot of this gas prices is because of the what do they call them, refineries. They aren't up to full capacity yet, so you can't just blame Biden for everything. It's just that's just crazy. But and then as long as I'm talking about elections a little bit, I'm all over the map here, but it's very important that Tony gets elected governor because of our gerrymandering in this state. He needs some kind of check and balance, if nothing else, and I happen to think Tony's a good man. So with that, you have a great Friday and a good weekend, Matt.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Thanks for calling in with a lot of stuff. I'll hit some of it before we go on. First of all, you're absolutely right historically. Social Security was passed in 1935. The Republicans opposed it. They said it was too expensive. Well, before that, you had old folks living in huts in rural areas, in degradation in urban areas, and they had no money. Social Security gives you a ground, and people pay into Social Security. I pay in, everybody pays in. And some people, they pay in more than they get out. So what? But Social Security is essential. And, you know, when Paul says they're attacking it, a lot of people yawn. They go, oh, well, nobody could really attack it. Well, what they are proposing is that the government, instead of guaranteeing a check like they do now with the full faith and credit of the United States government, they're proposing that the government and essentially put in a small amount into the equivalent of a of some kind of a 401k for you. And then they'll turn it over to Wall Street to invest. Well, Wall Street charges something like 2% of everything, every asset they're managing, whether or not they win or lose. And then another 1.5%, anything they bring home that's over the S&P 500. Well, they take risks because even if they lose everything, they still get 2%. You don't want gambling. You do not want to invest in the casino of Wall Street. You want the government doing what it's doing, and it's done it very well since 1935. With Medicare passed in the 60s, they always say, we're going to make it better. You know, Franklin Roosevelt on Social Security had a great line. The Republicans, when they ran against him in 1936 and 1940, went, oh, we love Social Security. We just want to make it better. Franklin Roosevelt said, sure they do. Sure they do. This is the gang that opposed it. They want to make it better, all right. They want to tear it apart. Well, that's exactly right. And with Medicare, here's what they want to do. When you turn 65, they want to put aside some mythical, say, 10 grand allocated to you, and you go out and buy your insurance in the private market. A lot of companies will crop up. They'll say, for 10 grand, we'll insure you. Okay? Most people don't have a lawyer in the family. Most people don't know the law. There are going to be more exceptions. They're going to screen out pre-existing conditions. They are going to screen out everything. They're going to limit the amount they'll pay. They'll have co-pays. And you will end up in a nightmare. Do not ever let them say that we are going to privatize Social Security or voucherize Medicare. Those are the two key words. They'll give you a voucher for Medicare, and you can use it until your insurance company says they're not covering you anymore, and then you're out of luck. They will privatize Social Security by saying, we'll put in some money, let Wall Street manage it, and if it disappears, they'll still get a 2% fee from us. Do not do that. Do you understand? Do not do that. Do not be stupid about that. Social Security and Medicare were the two greatest accomplishments in terms of financial social policy in the 20th century. Do not get rid of it. I don't have time to get rid of everything, or respond to everything that Paul said. It was all very, very good stuff. But, you know, he's actually right about inflation being a worldwide problem. And Biden's doing a very, very good job handling it. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Do not hang up. I'll get back to you right after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-278. Now we're going right to the lines and in order. Bill of Oconomowoc, you're up. What's on your mind today, Bill of Oconomowoc?
Here's a little insight to what's going on currently with the gun discussion. My motto is protect the children, not the guns, and my Republican friends hate that statement. It infuriates them. And I said, well, that's what you're doing because your party is paid by the NRA to put more guns on the street. Here's how bad I think it's got. Newsmax and Fox is carrying the Queen's Platinum Jubilee nonstop. I don't believe they can get on that topic. I believe it actually infuriates them, scares them. They know they can lose. The midterms are less than 6 months away. And if we stand on protect children, not guns, we should win unanimously. There is no argument in the world, including the Second Amendment, that's more important than children. Thanks, Matt.
You know, Bill, that's very important coming from you, and I'll tell everybody why. Bill is a hunter, and Bill is a gun owner. And the point is, when you know guns, you respect what they do, and you never point them without meaning to shoot, and you never point them at someone, except unless you're in the military and you're ordered into combat or there's an extreme self-defense situation. But those are some very, very wise comments. And let me go even beyond that. We're talking about protecting kids and not guns. Excellent comment. We're also talking about protecting people in grocery stores, medical office buildings, surgeons and doctors. We're talking about in a church parking lot in Ames, Iowa. I mean, a couple of people got shot just yesterday. How about at a funeral? At a funeral in Racine yesterday. They're lowering the coffin and they're somebody's singing a hymn and suddenly some gentlemen show up thinking they'll pay their respects by pumping lead into the crowd. I mean, come on, okay? I'm going to reiterate something I said early in the first hour, and it's this. The Brady Bill is all well and good, but it's not enough. Brady Bill will provide for background checks, and it'll provide for different things. Ultimately, military weapons should not be in civilian hands. And I'll say that again. Military weapons should not be in civilian hands. I was in the Navy. Buddies in the Army and the Marine Corps, if you have some kind of a Jones for shooting a machine gun or an assault weapon, join the military. Okay, join the military. Put your money where your mouth is. Spend some time defending your country. And it's fun. Yeah, it's absolutely fun training and all that kind of stuff. The funny thing about this is people that I know, and I know over the radio like Bill of Oconomowoc, but know buddies who are veterans, especially buddies in combat, they don't see any real need to have an AR-15. They'd already fired everything they needed to fire where it counted. And a lot of the people that buy these things are wannabes who think, oh, great, I'll be a Rambo. My solution is the Brady Bill is not enough. And by the way, it's being filibustered by Moscow Mitch, filibustered by all the Republicans. Never even get to a vote. They can't even discuss it because of the filibuster. But even if it did pass, it's not going to keep AR-15s out of people's hands. What you have got to do is get back to the core premise of the Second Amendment as it's interpreted now. You do not let people have military weapons in civilian life, and everybody agrees to that. You do not let them have nuclear weapons. Do not let them have chemical or biological weapons. Do not let them have stingers or javelins. Machine guns, you don't let them have shoulder-held missile launchers. An AR-15, an assault rifle, they were banned in 1994 with the support of the NRA. But it was a 10-year ban because enough Republicans tried to stop it. And then in 2004, when there's a Republican president and Republican Congress, they got rid of the ban. Before 1994, there were 400,000 of these kinds of assault rifles. Now there are 20 million. What has to be done is simple, in my view. You designate these assault rifles as military weapons. Remember, they're high velocity. They may have be able to pump off 30 rounds instead of a couple of rounds, up to 5 rounds. rifles in general are fine under the Second Amendment. Nuclear weapons aren't. Machine guns were outlawed in the 1930s. This is more potent, an AR-15, than a 1930s machine gun. So I would, if I were Biden, I would simply, as a matter of executive order, and yeah, there are Republican judges who might overturn it, but say there's a national emergency and I'm designating assault rifles as military weapons. And you can't have them. We'll have a buyback. And then if you have one and you think you're grandfathered, if you come out in public with it, you're not supposed to have it. I mean, in the 1930s, if you had a machine gun and they outlawed it, you're not supposed to have it. Can't use it. And you should not be selling weapons to people under 21. 18 and 19-year-olds, maybe if they're hunting with their father or mother, that's fine. But you don't have an 18-year-old go in and buy an AR-15. 18-year-olds are full of hormones. They have bad judgment. They want to show off for the girls. Maybe they're disappointed. They didn't get a job. They got fired. Their girlfriend left them. And they're despondent. They're despondent. And they figure they'll take people with them. You can't have it. By 21, you start to realize that life is maybe a little better and more complex than you thought at 18. That has got to be done. These things have got to be done. Next up is CJ of Stoughton. CJ, you would agree with me, wouldn't you, that when assault weapons were outlawed in 1994, that was a good thing?
Didn't do much, though, did it, Bill? And it, Matt,
it certainly did. For 10 years, there weren't these kinds of mass shootings.
Bill's grandson to own a gun, but not anybody else. We've got four great Republican candidates, and we're living in a Democrat world. Well, Evers failed Kenosha, Madison, and Milwaukee with the crime. Tim Nichols.
Evers has never been seen committing a crime in Kenosha or Milwaukee. If I saw Evers walking down the street, I would not be afraid that he'd whip out a gun. I mean, it's as simple as that. Hasn't committed any crime.
Yeah, well, as we watch Kenosha burn, I think those people might feel differently. As we watched the Hunter Biden administration do nothing, they got it right. You haven't covered Treasury Secretary Yellen. Admitting, we got inflation wrong. It's not transitory. Iran has a weapon. Russia invaded. If this is success, I'd hate to see failure. Milley admitted they got Afghanistan wrong. This Hunter Biden, Harris do nothing administration, I'd like to know what they've gotten right. Absolutely nothing. Inflation. That's costing
CJ,
every day.
Let me offer something to you. You know, when you open a restaurant, you don't go, I'm going to serve Chinese, Italian, Mexican, fish, and Southern food. Okay, you pick one. I mean, so normally there are Republican talking points. I get it. Inflation is the flavor of the day now. You throw in Afghanistan, Trump is the guy that recognized the Taliban, threw the government out, and said, let's free the terrorists. You say Ukraine, Trump was the guy that did everything he could to destroy NATO, and he was going to take us out of NATO after he got reelected. And fortunately, Biden did and built up NATO. That's very, very important. Kenosha, Jacob Blake got shot in the back 7 times. It had nothing to do with Tony Evers, and people were outraged. And Kyle Rittenhouse managed to slip through. There was a very bad judge in that case, in my opinion. And so you're throwing in a buffet. But, I mean, the buffet should be consistent. So if it's inflation, we're coming to a break, unfortunately. I'll deal with that right after the break. Thanks for calling in. Anybody else, hang on. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are live. I'm going to go to you in order. Make one quick announcement. It was announced yesterday that David Bowen, Assemblyman David Bowen, has dropped out of the lieutenant governor race. Wish him well. Good man. He's going to go on to other things. But David Bowen is no longer a candidate for lieutenant governor. Okay, I'll take you in order. Walter of Watertown, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Walter?
Matt, I start every day listening to your program and really enjoy the history lessons. And I have a historical perspective that I'd like to share, especially after hearing CJ play his greatest hits again.
Thank you.
Ralph, I want to talk about one of the worst presidents of my lifetime, the guy who Ralph Nader described as a second-rate actor doing a first-rate job of portraying a third-rate president. Reagan was a racist. He chose Philadelphia, Mississippi as the place to launch his post-primary presidential campaign. And he later made reference to welfare queens, another deliberate dog whistle. Reagan was an economic disaster. He accrued greater deficits than all the previous presidents combined. And the dimwit believed that Robert Bork was right when he spun this laissez-faire tale of Milton Friedman and Friedrich Hayek. He started by creating a war on workers' unions, depressing wages, and shrinking the middle class for over four decades. He refused to enforce the Sherman Antitrust Act in 1983, giving rise to nearly 40 years of hostile takeovers, amalgamations, consolidations, vertical integrations, and conglomerations that destroyed competition in the marketplace. That helped create monopolies in every sector of the economy, finance, transportation, manufacturing, healthcare, agriculture, and energy. Today's energy prices are directly attributable to Reagan. The fossil fuel giants posted record profits in 2021 and 2022 and have been buying back their stock. These giants are charging more for oil.
You know what, Walter, you are making some phenomenally good points. And if I may, I just want to interject to support some of that and also to give a little extra historical perspective. You've given a very good one. Most people don't remember this. When Ronald Reagan announced his presidency, that he's running, okay? And he was an underdog and he's going to be running against an incumbent, Jimmy Carter. Where do you announce it? Well, I mean, Walter Mondale announced it in three places in a farm up in Merrill, Wisconsin. I went up for the announcement. You know, you announce it in a farm or a closed factory, or you announce it in your home state, in that case, California for Reagan, or you have a symbolic backdrop. Well, he had a symbolic backdrop. It was Philadelphia, Mississippi, as Walter said. Now, who in God's name would go to Philadelphia, Mississippi to introduce a presidential campaign? Now, nothing against the folks in Philadelphia now or Mississippi in general, but, you know, why not pick Random Lake, Wisconsin? I mean, why not pick Ladysmith? I mean, you're announcing a presidential campaign. The reason he did it is exactly what Walter said. Philadelphia, Mississippi had been the site of a vicious racial murder. This was a signal by Reagan to the South that he wanted the South and Dixiecrats to come to him. Before that, Jimmy Carter had carried the South, obviously. He was from Georgia. And even before that, you had Lyndon Johnson was from Texas, and he was trying to step in. But to do it by signaling the location of a racial murder sent an unbelievably bad signal. The other thing is he did refer to welfare queens, and there was a pejorative racial element to that about welfare people, even though the majority of people who get what you call welfare are not African-American. They're not African-American. They're people who are down on their luck and they get it for a while and then they go on and work. So that's number one. Number two, with Robert Bork, he was the guy they put up for the Supreme Court who finally got shot down, and Joe Biden and Ted Kennedy and others were instrumental in shooting him down. He had one of the worst performances in his appearance before the Senate I've ever seen. Somebody asked him, I don't know if it was Biden who asked him, they looked at him and said, Judge Bork, why do you want to be on the Supreme Court? You know what he said? he looked at him and he bared his teeth and you could practically see the saliva come out. And he goes, because it would be an intellectual feast. Well, you know, anyway, the lines are alive. I got to go on the lines. Walter, thanks for that excellent historical commentary. Feel free to call in again. Robert of West Allis, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Robert of West Allis?
Walter was right on point. So, yeah, obviously Lee Atwater ran some of the most racist campaigns with Reagan and then George Bush with Billy Horton. But, yes, yeah, so when we go back to gas prices today, there's two reasons. The welfare queens are the oil companies that get subsidized by the government, yet there's 9,000 oil and gas leases in federal land that go unused. So between them and MBS over in Saudi Arabia, who refuses to pump more oil, although he's supposedly our friend, that's why gas prices are where they are. To get the antitrust point Walter was making, when you look at baby formula, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at an oligopoly, an industry. And so,
yeah, you're fading out a little bit, Robert, but I get the point, and we just lost you, I'm afraid. But you're making excellent points, as you always do. And the truth of that, when people look at somebody like at Biden saying, well, the gas prices are going up, therefore it's his fault. Not only is it worldwide, and not only is it Saudi Arabia betraying our support for them. I mean, we've in the past supplied them with arms in Yemen. We have protected them against, we've even stationed American troops there to protect them against attacks on their oil wells. And they are not helping out in Ukraine or anywhere else by increasing oil production and then marginalizing Russia. They're not doing it. As far as oil well leases here in this country, there's some that Biden won't give, like offshore drilling off of California, and I agree with that, and parts of Alaska, but there are others that the oil companies absolutely could drill on. Thank you for calling in. Chris Poinette, you're next up, my friend. What's in your mind today, Chris Poinette?
Good morning. Hey, your guy Walter that just called in, that is the most succinct, concise explanation of current events, well, you know, back to the 80s. But at the same time, that guy needs to write a book.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for calling, Walter. If you're listening, call again. And I'll say this beyond what Chris just said. On the antitrust laws, that's a very abstruse thing that normally people don't get into. But the truth of the matter is that they haven't been enforced since Reagan, and that has been bad for the economy. Next up, we have Northwoods Terry, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Northwoods Terry?
Oh, I was just going to say, Matt, budget director David Stockman, I think he was, for Reagan,
right,
later ran away from that policy that he had, that they implemented, denounced it later on.
You're absolutely right. Stockman was his guy, and Stockman engineered a lot of that, and then Stockman renounced it afterwards. Absolutely correct. And to get back to what Walter said, and Chris, and you, Terry, if you look at Reagan, this guy has gotten the biggest pass in history, and he didn't deserve it. He did not deserve it because we enforced antitrust laws up till him, and now we have the big boys, in effect, strangling portions of our economy through monopoly. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great call-ins, as always. Have a good weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place on Monday. And I'm signing off for now. This is your home.